Several years ago, I was in the town of Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré, which is about 40 kilometers northeast of Quebec City, along the St. Lawrence River. The focal point of the town is a cathedral that is noted for the large number of miracles that have occurred within it, and it attracts many religious pilgrims and others seeking cures for their maladies. It is said that any sick, injured, or disabled person who is able to ascend the somewhat formidable front steps of the cathedral completely unaided will be cured of their ailments. Upon the columns inside the cathedral are hung hundreds of crutches, braces, and wheelchairs of those who have been healed there. Each of these has a tag with a name and a date on it. After looking around the cathedral, I went outside to wait for my traveling companions. It was a warm day, and I decided to take a nap on the lawn next to a fountain in front of the cathedral. After lying there just long enough to get to sleep, I was awoken by a clergyman asking me if I needed any assistance in getting to the steps. On April 13th, 1989, nearly 600 students from three junior and senior high schools tuned their instruments and cleared their voices for the 40th annual Stairway of the Stars concert in Santa Monica, California. No sooner had the assembly commenced than headaches, dizziness, weakness, abdominal pain, and nausea spread among the student performers. About half the students, but no one in the audience, developed some combination of these symptoms. 16 girls in the soprano section of the chorus fainted. Officials quickly evacuated the audience, and ambulances rushed 19 students to hospital. A survey of most of the students in the ill-fated orchestra, conducted 3 weeks after the episode described in the September American Journal of Psychiatry, indicates they fell prey to mass hysteria, not the sort exhibited by fans at a rock concert, but the sudden appearance of a group of temporary physical symptoms stemming from psychological causes. Researchers have previously noted several other outbreaks of mass hysteria among schoolchildren and adults. Numerous physical and emotional factors contribute to these occurrences, but in Santa Monica, social transmission played a key role, maintained psychiatrist Gary W. Small of the University of California in Los Angeles. Illness most often strikes those students who first observed a friend with symptoms, Small's team reports. Of the 519 student performers who completed a questionnaire developed by the researchers, 247 reported sudden illness at the concert. Chorus members from one school, particularly girls in the soprano section, experienced the highest rate of symptoms. Social transmission exerted the strongest effects in those youngsters, the researchers contend. The survey found that girls suffered a higher rate of illness than boys, 51% compared to 41%. One quarter of the symptomatic students had a chronic medical illness, most often asthma, that might have contributed to their hysterical reactions, the researchers note. A clear trigger for the brief incapacitation of the student orchestra evades investigators, although the psychological stress of performance anxiety probably contributed to the symptoms, Small's group concludes.
Research conducted
several years ago indicated that seemingly random babbling of babies traverses a sequence of increasingly complex vocal stages leading to the first spoken words around age one. But a new pilot study suggests babies can babble without ever making a sound, thanks to a generalized innate language capacity in the brain. Psychologists Laura and Paul F. Marinette of McGill University in Montreal studied five infants, two of whom were deaf. The deaf baby parents acquired American Sign Language as their first language. The three hearing babies had hearing parents who spoke either French or English did not expose their infants to sign language. On three occasions, when the babies reached the ages of about 10, 12, and 40, researchers videotaped the children alone and with their parents, then transcribed each hand movements and vocalizations. Both hearing and deaf babies engaged in their own brand of babbling, Petit wrote in the March 22nd Science. Hearing infants initially produced strings of sounds and syllables emitting their first words by age one. Babies babbled with their hands, starting out with basic for letters and numbers that they saw their parents use. Hand movement gradually grew more complex with the first full-fledged linguistic signs emerging by hand. The babbling requires hearing and an abnormal hearing and an abnormal hearing and out, the investigators argue. The brain type of some type of unified capacity for learning both signed and proposed language, they propose. Some psychologists suspect that entities sometimes creep into the recall of vivid, flashbulb memories experienced just before, during, and after
a major puzzle about flashbulb memories means I'm an
professor of Emory University, in Atlanta,
and often have vivid recollections to prove it incorrect. Nesmith's a study he conducted with Emory colleague Nicole Harsh. On the morning after the Jake's 1986 spaceship, asked Emory freshman in an introductory psychology class as after the before, three years later, 44 of the students told the researchers how they learned of the tragedy. Although the students gave plausible, competent accounts, after 3 years, nearly one-third of them mentioned that differed substantially from their day-after records in the January American Psychologist. The large number of utterly false and shocking events came as a surprise. Mr. said it deserves further scrutiny. Flashbulb memory studies. A young woman contemplates slipping her previously worn by her ex-boyfriend, but she finds the garment repulsive. It's the fact that he could somehow transmit somehow the object of negativeness. She explains to her research psychologist dandruff on it, but it would be dandruff on it. But it would be the creepy. A man in the same study reached a thoroughly laundered sweater once laundered by hepatitis by him. I feel that it was contaminated in some way that I could get the light from it, but that it was not, but that it was somehow the shape of clean, tells an experimenter. I think you get hepatitis. These cases represent lapses into superstition or magical theory, otherwise rap folks. Just the opposite of a psychologist, of a certain psychologist, Her research, that many ascribe to some quote, but not to some quote, but never called a contagion. Traditional belief noted in many non-Western cultures by anthropologists, from isolated New tribes to crowded New York streets, contagion sources, friends, enemies, food, blood, and hair contain some sort of contagious entity or essence. This transfers physical things to others, through direct. For example, many positive literally rubs on positive. They literally rubs what they consider spider special. This outlook striking expression is never to wash a hand again after being a famous person. It also strokes the creative possessions of celebrities. Individuals perceived as evil. Individuals perceived will take on the power pernicious King Midas. King Midas. Touch turns look. One has chuckled and outrageous his headline, gazing across the supermarket, handing an idea and believing in standing an idea and believing in hand. Otherwise, I've got stand regularly to accept such proclamations as, like Elvis, as articles of faith. Think again, offers inquiring minds not only want to know, they also tend to believe, at least initially, what they read and hear are correct. Of the University of Texas at Austin. Much recent research on a single point. People are very credulous creatures who find it very difficult to doubt. Silbert argued in an article scheduled in March, American Psychology. The contagion may spark debate, but it already is unprecedented. More than years ago, Aristotle said we know who is rare. And that is rare. The other.
Thank you. set up for this last piece, so feel free to socialize and do all that stuff. For sale. So if anybody's interested, there's this wonderful journal published by Leonardo, which has includes a CD and a journal. It has an article by me and by Nick Collins, who's in the audience, if you haven't noticed already. a very good article, I might add, with lots of pictures and great things. This is $15, and the people at Leonardo tell me that they don't have a distributor in New York, so if you haven't got one already, like, this might be your only chance. Not as a way to pressure you, but just as an observation. I also have tapes for sale, one of which is from a few years ago, one of which is more recently. The older one contains about 45 minutes worth of material, so maybe that would be like $7 or make me an offer. And the newer one, which has about 20 minutes worth of material, maybe like $4 or $5. I'd say like $5 because it's got my home phone number and my email address and a place where you can send faxes to me. And so if I sell you one, you might like come bother me in all these ways. So I might want to charge you $5 for that, or a bottle of Belgian beer. I would be happy to make a trade for that. I also want to thank Jim Staley and the Roulette staff for making this all go well. They're fine folks. So we'll do this piece, and then this will be it. This piece I save for last because it's the messiest, as you will find out. But don't worry, you're not gonna. This isn't an audience participation type of thing. It's just messy for me. So.
Thank you. know how I would live if I renounced religion and was illogical enough to disbelieve in a life beyond in a real life? Why, if I threw away and denounced my faith, I would surround myself with the most adroit high doctors, learn every trick of the highest banking and stock manipulation, avail myself of the laws I wish to hide with my own eyes, create a smokescreen to attract the eyes of men, and, believe me, I would become the world's champion cook. If I didn't believe in a religion and in a happy beyond, I would get everything for myself that I could lay my hands on in the world.
Married. Someone had a mother outside.